normal person would be, you know.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's crazy, son.
He's such a loser in life, that guy.
He really is. He really is.
I don't like that guy.
It's from Titletown, though. What are you going to do? Yeah. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till about, 7 o'clock now. Habib, I guess we'll be here till about 7:15 with all the news and everything that we got going on this week.
This is by far the slowest week. Boxing has been... you know, a huge thing this year. It's been huge.
Yeah.
It's been on the rise. We've had fights every week, pretty decent fights every week. Some weeks we've had so much boxing that we couldn't even keep up with all the fights. This week?
This week we had no trouble keeping up with the fights.
Because there was none. We had to go out in the street and watch like two kids fighting in a friggin' schoolyard.
We had to go out, slap somebody upside the head, and get in a fight ourselves. You know, I mean, to get things happening, man, get it jumping, you know. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So we'll be here, I don't know, we'll be here for a little bit, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, today we do have some topics for you, though. We did get that together. We got it together, Beeb. Today we're going to talk about DAZN. Is it really raising its prices? Seems like they just went through a price hike last year. Now they're going to... do it again. I don't know. And JC in the chat, you already know. Adrian Broner rings in the new year with the first train wreck of the week. What's wrong with this guy, Bede?
I don't know.
What's wrong with him, man? I don't know either. All right, but first we get started with, since there's no fights to talk about, no fights to mention, we're going to get started with the schedule, the upcoming fights for the brand new year. Friday, January 10th in Atlantic City on Showtime. Clarissa Shields versus Ivana Habazin. 10 rounds for the vacant WBC, WBO Women's Junior Middleweight title. And if you remember right, this is a not exactly a return match. They were going to fight, and then I guess Shields' brother hit Habazin's manager.
Yep.
Caused him to, the guy's like 90 years old or something like that, and hit him. You know, but hopefully there's no incidents this time and everything like that, and everything goes off as planned. On the undercard, Jerron Ennis versus Bakhtar Ayubov, 10 rounds welterweights. And there's another women's fight on there, Alicia Napoleon Espinoza. I don't believe she's any relation to Steven Espinoza. Versus Eileen Sederos, 10 rounds for the WBA IBF Women's Super Middleweight title unification. And that's pretty much it. My guess is that they're going to show those two fights, and that's going to be it. I don't think it'll be a triple header. But you know what? I've been wrong. I've been wrong a lot, so who knows. January 11th from Atlantic City on ESPN, Jesse Hart versus Joe Smith Jr., 10 rounds light heavyweights. That's a good fight, Bede. That's a real good fight. I like that fight a lot. Joe Smith's got that one-punch power, man. He can put you away. Steve Nelson versus Sam Killick, 10 rounds, super middleweights. Joseph Adorno versus Hector Garcia, 8 rounds, lightweights. So not a whole lot in terms of star power on that card, with the exception of maybe the top main event, which I like, but everything else, I don't know. Your boy Sonny Kato is on the undercard there against Curtis Head, 4 rounds, heavyweights. My guess is he won't be televised, but who knows? Knows. Hopefully they will. Do they show the entire cards on ESPN Plus?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then maybe that'll be on ESPN Plus because this is set for ESPN.
Yep.
January 11th, also Saturday, on DAZN from San Antonio. Packed house this week, man. Jaime Munguia versus Gary Spike O'Sullivan, 12 rounds middleweights. Jaime Munguia stepping up to take on Gary Sullivan. And then on the other card here, Franchon Cruz Dizern versus Alejandro Jimenez for the Cruz for the WBC WBO women's super middleweight title. Hector Tanajara versus Juan Carlos Burgos, 10 rounds lightweights. Joshua Franco versus Jose Burgos, 10 rounds junior bantamweights. And then a whole bunch of people on there that I don't know. Yeah, don't know. Don't know what am I going to do. There you go. And that's our action for next week. Let's talk about the fights for a minute here. Who do you like in the Jesse Hart, Joe Smith fight, Steve?
Well, the thing about Jesse Hart is he's such a great boxer, particularly, you know, on the inside. He works very well. And he's got a great jab. He's got great foot movement. So he can go in and out. He can work his way inside very effectively. So obviously, you would have to say he's the better boxer, probably the much quicker of the two. But the problem is, when he goes inside, a lot of times when he goes outside, that's the problem. So he likes to go in and out, like I said, but on his way out, a lot of times he tends to drop his hands, gets a little bit lax. Sometimes he'll go inside and throw shots and do some good work on the inside, but he'll kind of move out. And as he's moving out, drops his hands, gets a little bit complacent because he's like, it's almost like he's admiring his work, saying, wow, look what I just did. And that's when he tends to get hit. That's when he gets hit with shots on the way out. And Joe Smith is the guy that will follow you on the way out and continue to follow you until there's no more room for you to move. He's relentless, Joe Smith. Even in fights that he looks like he's being thoroughly beaten and thoroughly outboxed, you sit there and say to yourself, this guy's got a lot of dog in him. He's not going to quit. And he always has his moments. I mean, even that Sullivan Barrera fight, I think he actually knocked Sullivan Barrera down in that fight.
Yeah.
Even though he was being outboxed, but he was still determined enough and just has this resilience about him where there's no quitting this guy's game. So you have to favor Jesse Hart because of the boxing ability. But here's the thing. Jesse Hart's the smaller guy. Joe Smith is the light heavyweight. And Jesse Hart moved from 160 to 168. Now he's going to 175. So
big guy.
Joe
Smith is a big guy.
He's making a big jump up. Maybe not necessarily in class, with all due respect to Joe Smith. But Joe Smith is definitely the bigger guy.
Sure.
And I'm just curious to see how he's going to respond to those punches by the bigger man. That's going to be definitely something to have to be concerned about if you're Jesse Hart. In Jesse Hart's camp, because again, this is a tough opponent for your first fight at light heavyweight. Is this his first fight at light heavyweight?
This is a dangerous opponent, man.
Yeah, I think this is his first fight at light heavyweight. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it is.
I think it might be. Yeah.
Yeah, from what I understand. So, is this the guy that you want to test the waters at in your first fight, moving up a weight class? A guy who's strong.
Well, I mean, if
he can punch too. I mean, that's Bernard Hopkins. That he can punch.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna pick Jesse Hart by decision.
Sure.
But I'm not putting the house on it. You put a gun to my head, I may take the bullet in this one.
You know, I think that's the thing with Jesse Hart. It's like the logic says, yeah, it's gonna be Jesse Hart in a decision, but Joe Smith has got some power, and he can box a little bit. He's not bad. But going back to your point, is this the guy you want to test the waters against? Listen, man, I mean, honestly, like, if you're not willing to put it, you know, if you're not willing to go with Joe Smith, you know, I mean, you might as well test the waters with this guy. Because if you can't get past this gate right here, then you got no business up in the weight.
I mean, on one side of the coin, you can sit there and say that this is the perfect opponent because you're much more skilled than this guy. This is an opponent where you can showcase your boxing ability and skill. But in the same token, you make one mistake, this guy will make you pay for it.
Yeah.
He will make you pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's going to be in your face all night. And here's another problem with Jesse Hart. Not just the admiring his work part. Sometimes he stays in there too long and tries to bang it out with guys while he should, you know, be moving out of there. After your four-year combination, you should move back out and reset, pivot off to the side. Joe Smith will just stand in there, and he'll just – it's almost like he'll run his combinations up on the inside, and he'll sit there and wait for the return fire. Like, it's almost like he wants to go toe-to-toe with these guys punch for punch.
Yeah.
You know, and I talked about the ability to fight on the inside, you know, and I've hammered this point home so many times. Being able to fight well on the inside isn't just being tough and gritty and being able to grind it out. It's not just from the offensive standpoint. It's from the defensive standpoint in terms of body positioning, being able to position your body, as I said several times about this, where you're in the position to fire and you're out of the line of fire from your opponent. So you don't want to sit there in the center line. You want to position yourself off to the side where you could dig your shots, the wraparounds and, you know, those kidney shots. But you don't want to be in the center line. Sometimes Jesse Hart stands there, that Philadelphia fighter in him.
That's not good. Not against this guy.
Yeah.
Not against this guy.
Stand in the center of that pocket.
No.
And he wants to go to war.
No.
He has a tendency to do that. I think it's
all Philadelphia fighters do, for whatever reason.
It's just embedded in this guy's DNA. And it's something that's not going to serve him well in this fight. He definitely can't do that in this fight. But guess what? You'll watch him fight, and he'll be doing so well outboxing, moving well in and out, rat-a-tat-tat on the inside.
Yeah.
And then
once he gets clubbed.
Yeah, he has that one.
He's got to get it back. Let's regroup. There is no strategy. There is no, okay, let's go back. Let's move a little bit. And then, no, he's got to get it right back now.
He wants that get back. You're right.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. If he wants that get back.
That could be a problem here.
It's going to be a problem here. And he may not get an opportunity to get that get back with a heavy puncher like this.
No.
Right?
No, man. But I'll tell you what, Hart is very well schooled. And so logic says that he should win a unanimous decision, and it should look pretty easy for him. Logic says that.
Yeah.
Now, listen, that's why they fight the fight.
Why they fight the fight. These fights,
they're not
fought on paper. They're fought in the ring.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, I mean, I imagine if you look at the odds, I mean, I imagine Jesse Hart's a pretty big favorite.
Yeah.
But, again, man, Joe Smith is nothing to sneeze at here, man. Nothing to sneeze at. Let's talk about another fight. Our caller of the year, Nacho, says that Munguia's taking on O'Sullivan should be a tough fight. You know, I hate to agree with you on this, but it might be a tough fight. This actually may be a tough fight. Munguia should wipe the floor with this guy. But you know what? We've seen Munguia is
He's not hard to hit, is he?
I don't want to disparagement say hype job, because he's not. He can fight, but he gets hit too much, way too much. But he's got power. But now he's moving up in weight. Now he's moving up in weight. Now he's, you know what I mean?
Does it carry?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think this is going to be very beneficial, him moving up in weight. This guy with 6'2".
Yeah.
Trying to make 154. You could tell he was emaciated trying to make that weight when he was weighing in for those weigh-ins. He was just gone.
Yeah.
He could easily carry 160. I bet you in another year he'll be at 168. Another year and a half, he'll be at 168. He's a big kid, you know. But the problem with him is the day they were teaching defense at the gym, he was absent. He didn't show up that day. I mean, with all due respect, this guy has never seen a punch that he doesn't like to get hit with.
Isn't it Nacho Berenstein, right? Nacho Berenstein, that's who he should have got. Like Marquez's trainer. He stresses defense and – you know, he stresses that kind of stuff, because you look at Marquez fighting, he's the same way, man.
And here's the problem. You know, you're sitting there eating the punches like candy at 154, and to your point, will he be able to eat these punches like candy at 160? Will he be able to – in other words, can he afford to go head on, right, and just take, you know, take two to give one, because he knows his one is harder than the other guy's two, or at least it was at 154. Can he apply that same strategy at 160 and be effective?
That's a huge question. Let's play
here.
Nostradamus right here. Where are they going with him at 160?
He's never going to be a champion at
160. Where do they go? So he goes and beats Spike O'Sullivan, which we all expect him to do. Don't get me wrong. We all expect him to do that. But at 160, you know, Ryota Murata, Triple G, Demetrius Andre, Jermell Charlo. Oh, and there's a guy who still holds a belt named Canelo Alvarez. I don't know if you guys heard of him or not. So where are you going? Where are you? He's not fighting Canelo. Canelo's moving up in weight. He ain't fighting Canelo. He can't fight Charlo. He's on the other side of the street. Ryota Murata and Triple G, I believe one of those guys is going to get Murata. Either Canelo or Triple G is getting Murata next. And then Demetrius Andre. Son, you ain't beating any of those guys. Where are you going with him at, you know, where is Julian Williams? You know, again, he's on the other side of the street. Charlo's on the other side of the street. I'm looking at 154 here. I don't know, man. I don't know where he goes. I don't know where they're looking to put him. I really don't. So, you know, that's a tough one, man.
Yeah.
It's a tough one, man.
I don't see him beating Canelo. There's no way in God's green earth. He's not going to beat an Andre. Not going to beat a Billy Joe Saunders.
Tommy Boxeo just said Munguia versus Murata would be a banger of a fight, in my opinion. I think that's the best fight. I think that's a really good fight. And listen, out of the three, out of Triple G Murata, out of Canelo Murata, or Munguia Murata, I think the best fight is going to be Munguia versus Murata. Because I think Triple G beats him, and I think Canelo walks right through him. You think Triple G beats him? Murata?
I'll be honest with you.
Wow.
50-50 fight.
What? Wow. He said he lost after Derevchenko. I've got a Derevchenko fight put a lot of questions in everybody's mind, didn't it?
And I picked Derevchenko to win, and I thought he won.
I thought he won the fight, too.
And I believe
I thought he won it. I thought he won that fight.
And he didn't get the decision in that fight, but Let's just put it this way. Triple G is not going to get any better. He can only get worse.
Yeah, he's done.
And that's the reality of it.
He's on the slide. He's on the slide. We've talked about that since the Jacobs fight. He's on the slide.
Yeah, he's turning the corner. And I thought he lost the Jacobs fight, and so did you.
I did, too. So, it was funny, man. Like I said, I was on Press Raw. I was the only one to pick Jacobs before the fight. Everybody was like, how did you have Jacobs? Those guys, you know.
We know what we're doing over here, people.
You're right.
I mean, been doing this a long time.
We don't got this title belt over here for nothing, you know.
Yeah.
What a champ.
If we are a bunch of schmucks over here, we don't.
Oh, whoa.
Just wake up yesterday and start doing this. Be real here.
Exactly.
We're a bunch of ham and eggs over here.
Yeah, right? Come on.
Christ's sake.
Yeah, really. Come on, show us some respect. Put some respect on our name, you know. Put some respect on our name. Not heavy on the undercard action, though. Let's talk about Clarissa Shields and Ivana Habeson. And you know what? Let's talk about this fight a little bit late. I think Clarissa Shields is going to beat Habeson pretty easy.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about what Clarissa Shields is planning for 2020. It's an odd plan, to say the least. I think it's horrible.
I'm not a big fan of her. if I'm in her camp, we're having a meeting, and we're going to talk about her plan.
we're having a meeting like tomorrow.
Yeah.
As soon as I read this article, I was like, we're having this meeting like tomorrow.
Come here, let's sit down and have a talk.
Yeah. Maybe we ought to think about this first, because I understand all the bravado and everything like that, and all the talk back and forth, man. But
yeah,
that's not a fight you want. That's not what you want to do, man. Trust me.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, she's a bad lady, man. I tell you what.
Leave that girl alone.
That is the boogeyman, you know, let me tell you that.
Leave her alone.
All right, let's go to the news and rumors now. All right, I told you, it's a quick show. We're rolling heavy. So, this is an odd one here. listen, man, I'll admit I don't know a whole lot about the business world and, you know, stuff like that. That's not really my forte. You know, I don't run Fortune 500 companies or anything like that.
Don't be modest. You took finance in college.
That's very true. That's very true.
That was one of your electives. Come on.
I was very good. I was very good. But it's a young man's game now,
Peter. You run a lemonade stand?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. You totally won that.
You do a paper route.
Yeah. All right, so I am pretty good at finance. All right, let's lay it on the table. All right, I'm pretty good.
You manage the bills over at the Lord of Residence pretty well, don't you?
Right, exactly.
Everything gets paid on time over there, right?
I give or take 10, 15 days. It's all in the mail, you know what I mean?
That's 30-day grace, don't worry. 30-day grace.
As long as we have that grace period, we're fine, you know what I mean?
What's wrong with that?
So Eddie Hearn was doing was on the SI Boxing podcast, which just makes me chuckle there because he's talking to Chris Mannix. This is what he said. This is a quote. Joshua Ruiz was three times what Joshua got on Showtime. Even in America, it's approaching a million audience. That's a huge number. One of the problems we have recruiting fighters in the early days was, oh, no one is watching DAZN. Now they are. More people are watching. We're getting bigger audience numbers than Showtime. I do believe in the product of DAZN for the value of the fight fan. I'm actually going to say to DAZN, I think you should bump up the monthly fee. It's $19.99 a month. Make it $50 a month. Huh? Says, we don't want you to come and go. We want you to stay and be a part of this community. Learn more about boxing, digest the fighters, and grow with us. So let me understand this in my limited, you know, financial expertise here. Eddie Hearn's marketing strategy is to take a subscription-based service and increase the price over 100%. That would be $600 a year. Are you stupid? Do you think we're stupid?
Well, not if you pay the $100 for the 12 months.
Is that what he's going to do, though?
Well, you're still...
If he's going to raise it $50 a month.
No. This is the thing. I'll clarify this.
Yes, please.
So you know how if you do a month-to-month, you pay $20 a month right now. But if you want to buy it for the whole year, you only have to pay $100. Up front. You just make pay a one-time fee, yearly subscription of $100, right? You're aware of that, correct?
Yes, you could pay like $100 or whatever, so it's like $10 a month or something along those
that,
lines.
That
really
option, he was saying that option would still be in place. His big concern is the people that dip in and out. So they'll buy it for 1 month because there's a fight on that they want to watch, and they'll cancel it. So essentially what these people are doing, they're doing the same thing as buying a pay-per-view. Now, a pay-per-view from another promoter or from like Showtime or from Fox or whatever, you know, a top ranked pay-per-view, whatever, ESPN Plus pay-per-view, they're $80, sometimes $100, right? So if people are going to use this service the same way they would use the pay-per-view service, meaning they're only going to buy a fight instead of buying the subscription, the whole package,
yeah,
then he's saying to themselves, even at $50, that's still a bargain.
Isn't that kind of what you run into, though, when you do a subscription service? Isn't this kind of the...
No, and I'll explain to you why.
I mean, listen, if we were to put our podcast on subscription,
yep,
and say, okay, you can pay the, you know, $9.99 a month or $2 a podcast, which I think is very reasonable. But that being said, you'll have people come in and out.
But let me ask you this. How many people do you know that have Netflix that cancel every month and just sign up 2 months later or 3 months later?
I don't know.
Most subscription-based products, they don't cancel. People buy them and they keep them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people are using this DAZN model primarily, like the people that are casual fans, not all the people, but the casual fans that want to watch a Canelo fight but aren't really concerned about AJ, or the casual fans that are concerned about watching an AJ fight but they're not concerned about, you know, Canelo,
yeah,
or Golovkin. So if you're going to treat the service like it's basically a pay-per-view for specific events, like the general pay-per-view model is, $80, $90, $100 for an event, then if his big thing is he doesn't want people to buy 1 month and then than skip out. He'd rather have them for the whole.
That's tough.
The whole year.
That's how many people buy HBO for Game of Thrones for the season and then dump it?
A few, but not.
I imagine there's quite a few. I mean, Alexander Wilson, thank you so much. He said that quote is misleading because he said the $99 annual subscription would stay the same. Listen, it's his quote, not mine.
That's what I just explained, Alexander
Right.
Wilson.
He said they want to drive people to that option. Annual has less cancellation rate and everything like that.
I get it. And this is one time that possibly I may actually agree with Eddie Hearn.
$50 a month?
If you're gonna buy, think about it now. If you're gonna buy 2 months because you want to see a Canelo fight, like if you're only a Canelo fan and every other fighter on DAZN you don't give two shits about,
right?
And you only want to watch the Canelo fight, okay? If you want to watch Canelo on pay per view when he was on HBO pay per view, that was $80 a pay per view event, correct? That's $160.
Right.
Now, if you're going to do that, you'll pay $100.
I mean, we're on a year anyway, so it doesn't matter. But that being said, doesn't this kind of turn people off, though, $50 a month?
But like Alexander Wilson said, it's misleading.
But let me ask you this. If it's a Canelo fight where he fights twice a month or whatever, or twice a year, maybe you want to buy it, maybe you don't. Or maybe you're seeing a fight it's a big fight, and you're like the Joshua Ruiz fight where you're casual, and should I pay $50 for that? I'm not going to pay $50 for that fight when I can watch it for $10. Or I can watch it for free somewhere. I'm not paying that.
Let's go one better. Say you only want to watch 4 fights a year, okay? You want to watch the 2 Kyle fights, the 2 Joshua fights. Maybe you want to watch it if you don't even like fighting it. So you only end up buying it for 5 times, okay? So $20 a month times 5, that's $100, right? So why not just pay the $100 and buy the whole year? The whole premise to this concept from Eddie Hearn is to just tell people, just pay the $100, you're going to win.
I get it, but, you know, as a consumer – you know, my right is to buy whatever. You know what I mean? If I'm not necessarily interested in, what about Bellator? What about the guys who get the zone for Bellator, the MMA guys? They're going to want to pay $50 to watch Bellator?
Pay the $100.
Why, though? I mean, like, if I don't want to, you know, if I only watch, you know, from a casual fan. I think this is a terrible idea. I think this is a horrible idea.
First of all, he has no authority to tell, you know, he has no authority on how much the zone is going to cost him.
No.
He's an advisor, but he has nothing to do with the finance in terms of subscription price. So he has like him saying that, I don't think the zone will do that, number one. And number two, I kind of think it's tongue in cheek because I think he was being a little bit facetious when he said it, number one.
Could be, because we don't know. Yeah, I mean, could be.
I don't think he was.
Who knows?
He was basically speaking hypothetical, like, okay, you know, if people are going to dip in and out when they could just pay $100 and make a killing off getting all. I mean, how many fights? There's about what? If you're a boxing fan, there's like, what, 50? You can watch up to 50 fights a year on the zone, no?
The zone, okay, well. Let's start it off. Let's kick this off. The Zone. On January 11th, that's Jaime Munguia versus Gary Spike O'Sullivan. Is that worth money? Is that worth paying for? That ain't worth paying for. Dwayne M. Hang on one second. Dwayne M. says that does the Zone, this is because this is a good point here. Does the Zone truly have the numbers to risk this, though? The Zone doesn't release viewership numbers. Eddie is lying again, though. Possibly. Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. It's possible. But I don't know. I hear the biggest thing with the Zone is after the big fights, is what I hear, after the big fights, the subscriptions go.
So,
like they'll pay for a month and that's it. They just don't come back.
Here's the problem. You make money in boxing not from the diehards, but from the casual fans. Because when you can cross over, you already got us. You've had us forever, right?
Yeah.
The casual fans are what? They're the new consumers.
Yes.
They're the added consumers.
And this is not a good way to get those people, though.
This is definitely a way to kill that market.
Yes.
Okay?
Because we should. I mean, you know, you and I will pay for it. I wouldn't pay $50 a month for it.
But we'll pay the $100 up front.
Pay the $100 up front, but I would not pay $50 a month for it. But let me go with this to you now. What if they increase it to $200 a month?
Well, let's be honest.
What if they did, hypothetically?
What I did say months ago when I was critical of the zone, part of my skepticism was there's no way the price is going to stay $10 a month. And
it's true,
that.
Very true.
And as time goes on, this will still probably be better than pay-per-view in terms of pricing. But it won't be much better. It'll be comparable. And that's not what they set out to do. That wasn't the mission statement.
Yeah.
Okay? It's like, no disrespect, because I know you have DirecTV. But when I had DirecTV, the first 2 years I had it, it was actually the first, I want to say 18 months I had it. It was beautiful in terms of the pricing.
Sure.
As soon as that promo ends, and it's not like Comcast, because you can call Comcast and say, hey, you know what? I'm thinking of going to Charter. I'm thinking of going to UVerse, whatever. What can you do for me?
Yeah.
And they'll always throw you something. And when your bundle ends, you can always get a new bundle start a new bundle for another promotional rate.
DirecTV doesn't do that for you?
No.
Really?
DirecTV was like, after the first 2 years,
yeah,
they treated me like I friggin' stole something. They didn't like me. They just treated me like I was a nobody. Maybe if my last name was Lord, maybe I had some pull over there.
Just tell them you know me, man, because they go to the bat for me.
But here's another thing. I really wasn't crazy about the quality of DirecTV. I think Comcast is more reliable.
Really?
I like Comcast better.
I'll tell you how much struck I have with DirecTV. NBC was blacked out nationwide. Football games on at 4:30. I called them at 12. Football games playing on my TV at 4:30.
Now, how did that happen?
You know, that's right.
That was another thing I couldn't stand about DirecTV. They had so much issues with channels. Like a lot of times, channels would get
blocked. They're all greedy.
Because they'd have some problems with the negotiating with the fees or something like that, and you'd end up losing channels because of that. And it's like, what's going on? Like, how could you not have NBC? Think about that.
JC said, you remember back in the day who owned a black box? Yeah, you remember those? Do you remember those?
Yeah.
You had to buy like bullet protectors and everything for them?
I had one.
Was the cable, and then you put that in. It was beautiful. You put it in, and you got everything, man.
That's right.
It was crazy. That was the most insane thing I've ever seen.
They would die every 6 months, so then you have to get another
one. Well, you had one of those bullet protectors in them, because they said they send out those bullets. They call them the bullet protectors.
Yeah, the surge.
Yeah, they send those surges out.
They fry your box, and it would work.
Dwayne M., he says, casuals are only going to be attracted to two, maybe three fighters on the DAZN roster, Canelo, Joshua, maybe Triple G. Who else is worth the $50? He's right. He's 100% right. Because, again, I mean, we're looking – you and I and everybody listening here is probably looking forward to the Jaime Munguia-Spike O'Sullivan fight. All right? I mean, we'll watch it. Something for us to do. We like boxing, so we're going to watch it. You think a casual guy is going to do that? No, nobody's doing that.
And again, we'll watch a lot of the UK fights. But a lot of casual fans do not care about these UK fighters. They don't care about them. No one cares. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's Bayside said the zone is a new home for celebrity fights. Yeah, they got Jake Paul or Logan Paul or whatever. One of those guys is fighting again. They're going to fight them on the zone.
When is that?
A couple months, I guess.
But again, you know, how many American people are going to win? That's the thing. I mean, it'll probably do well internationally. But again, you know, this whole thing was geared towards getting more subscriptions from the U.S.
Yeah.
And you have to ask yourself, have they done that? We'll never know.
We'll never know.
You know, a lot of the things that Eddie Hearn talks about, like pay-per-view numbers and how well fights are doing and how much tickets are sold and this and that. Over in the UK, that stuff is not reported. Not reported. Not the same thing as like in the United States, attendance and live gate and purses. All that stuff gets reported to the commission. And even then, sometimes those numbers aren't accurate because there's a lot of back-end money that gets hidden through bonuses, through, you know, whatever the case may be, training expenses. We saw the situation with Chavez being when he fought from four, how he posted a side check that was not listed in the commission's recorded purse for that night. So, again, but at least there's some type of figures being reported. Over in the UK, nothing gets reported. Doesn't have to be released.
Right.
And even the U, like, everything is secret over there. Like, UCAD, if a fighter fails a drug test, they don't even tell you what he popped dirty for. They don't even tell you what foreign substance that he took that was illegal. So everything over there gets swept under the rug. It gets covered up. You don't know anything. All you have is what is rumored to be. And generally, Eddie Hearn will throw numbers out there, but the numbers cannot be substantiated because they're not reported officially. You know what I'm saying? So all you have is these numbers that Eddie Hearn's thrown at. So do we know for sure if these numbers are accurate that he's saying how well the zone is doing? They could be or they could be not. There's
no idea.
There's absolutely no way
nope.
of verifying those numbers. At least in the United States, the cable companies will release the purchase numbers. They'll tell you, you know, how many pay-per-views were bought. They'll tell you how the ratings were. Those are factual numbers that you can see that will be reported.
Right.
And they're irrefutable. These are DAZN numbers. If you're doing so well, right, why wouldn't you release the numbers? Like, no news is usually good news. Like,
right.
In other areas of life. But in boxing, no news means bad news.
Yeah.
Because if you're not going to report something, usually when it doesn't do well. Same thing with the Showtime pay-per-views. They would release the pay-per-view numbers when they were great, but when they were shitty, they wouldn't release them.
Nope.
Right? So why would the DAZN not release the numbers? Why wouldn't they try to hype themselves up if they're doing well? The only answer I have for it is I would suspect that these numbers supposedly that Eddie Hearn is reporting are inflated, or otherwise the DAZN would release the numbers.
Yeah, so for the month of, let's look, the month of January, they've got the Spike O'Sullivan fight with Jaime Munguia. Then on January 30th on DAZN, you've got Demetrius Andrade versus Luke Keeler. I mean, Jake Paul, Jake Paul versus Anson Gibbs, 6-round cruiserweights.
It's like anything else, though. It's cyclical.
It is, and I'm not saying DAZN doesn't have good fights on there.
No, but nobody's going to hit it out of the park week after week after week. No one will.
Shouldn't you for $50 a month, though?
Well, you're putting the pressure on yourself to have
you're
to.
You're really putting yourself, yeah, exactly.
If you're going to raise the price to $50 a month for the app.
Let me ask you a question. All right, so let me ask you. Let's be fair about this. That price is not going to increase for $50 a month. That just will not happen.
It's all hyperbole.
Was it the Brazzers? I think. How much is that a month, Joe? How much you pay for that? What do you pay for that a month? What, 40 or something like that? Or what do you pay for it over there at Comcast?
I got a complimentary subscription.
You got a complimentary subscription.
How's that?
So, let me ask you this. If they raise the yearly price to $200.
They won't.
Let's just say they did.
Okay.
How much is enough? How much would be enough to say, screw it, I'm not doing it?
The whole concept behind raising the monthly price is to lock people in for a year. So it's an all or nothing mentality. It's like that movie Colors. You could walk down that hill and get all the bulls, or you could run down that hill and get one bull. Now you want to run down the hill and only get one bull and scare the rest of the bulls away, that's fine. The goal here is to get the casual fan. So
It's a terrible way to get casual
fans.
But
here's
the
thing, though. If people are dipping in and out, right?
Yeah.
Give them a reason to at least maybe stay 2 months. Stay 2 months.
Something.
You know what I mean?
Something.
Let them, you know.
How much would be enough for you, though? If they said 250, say they said 250 a month, because what is that? That's right, around 25. All right, let's just say 250. Let's say they raise the price for a yearly to 250. Is that something that you would say, you know what, I got to walk on this?
Well,
I'll tell you right now, I would completely walk on that. I wouldn't do it.
I would probably dip in and out at that point. Yeah, I would walk.
For 50 a month, I mean, yeah.
I would dip in and out. But you know what? I probably would stay on that, and I'd price it out because I'd want to watch the Canelo fight.
Yeah.
And I'd want to watch the AJ fight. You know, when people talk about the streaming, you can go on the internet, I just don't want to stream because I don't want to be watching the fight and having the stream just stop buckling on me.
That's the worst. I was doing, what was it? The Colby Covington fight. The Colby Covington fight did that. We were watching a stream or whatever, and the fifth round, it was a Kamaru Usman, and it was a good fight. I mean, we had it like, I think I had Colby, I think it was even or something like that. And Usman wins the, you know, by knockout in the last round, and it just completely blacked on us. I was like, man.
Yeah, that would totally drive me up a wall.
Yeah, because you can't watch a fight like that. No way.
Yeah, so that would be a turnoff for me.
No way.
No question. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think Eddie Henry's kind of being facetious when he said it. You know, he's basically using it as a way to market his own thing. We're doing so well here. We should raise this to $50 a month. It's just a way of him trying to dig up his own, basically.
Yeah, there's no way. I think, you know, and I think people did take it a little bit too literal because there's 100% no way that thing goes up to 50 a month. No way.
I don't think
that's a horrible business model, by the way, if it does go up to 50. At that point, man. Yeah,
now, are you locked into the $100? I think I'm still paying the 10.
I think I'm still paying the 10.
Because I was grandfathered in.
Yeah.
Through the old.
As long as I pay $10, I don't care. I'll pay $10 a month for it.
Yeah. But I'll pay the 100 up front if I have to.
Yeah.
I mean.
And you know the thing is, like, at some point we know that the prices are going to go up, but from $10 to $50, I mean, no.
Yeah, I'm still. Oh, I'm still paying $9.99 a month.
I mean, when
and
you
I
start.
Guess it, I guess it says my subscription ends January 22nd, 2020. So on January 22nd, I'm going to have to change my.
Charge you $100 a month, son. They go kill you.
I'm going to have to pay the $100. Because it's not going to renew for the $9.99. Then I'll have to stop paying $20 a month. Then it'll be $240 a year. So I'm just going to pay the $100 up front. Make sure you take a look at your subscription and when it expires.
Yeah, sure will.
Because I think we signed up at the same time. So
yeah, I think we did.
You may have to go back and pony up the $100.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
It is what it is, right?
Junkies.
So I got to go on there, and I got to pay the $100.
All right, let's move on to our next topic here, and this is a good one. In the surprise of absolutely nobody, Adrian Broner is the first train wreck of the week, which is ironic because just a couple of weeks ago he was a train wreck of the week. Now, a lot of people ask me, you know, why did you pick Chavez Jr. for the train wreck of the year? Just because of the story and everything. Listen, if I chose Adrian Broner, he'd be the train wreck of the year every single year. He's got more train wrecks than anybody in history. This week is no different. So Adrian Broner gets our train wreck of the week for trying to pick up a 16-year-old girl. The girl's name is Bad Baby, a.k.a. Danielle Bregoli. She's the girl. I don't know if you guys know her or not, but she's the girl. She was on Dr. Phil, and a bunch of memes came out about this chick. And she had the famous line on Dr. Phil says, catch me outside. How about that? You know, so you see like a lot of – there was a lot of memes at that point says, catch me outside. It was kind of like the cat. You remember, you've seen the cat memes? with that girl going crazy and pointing at him, you know what I mean? And then you have the cat saying something dumb. It's kind of like that, where you see, cash me outside, how about that? And she said it like, cash me outside. It wasn't even like catch. But she was on Dr. Phil because she was like a teenage like delinquent or something like that. Nacho says, can we just put Adrian Broner in the Train Wreck Hall of Fame? The actual name is the Adrian Broner Train Wreck of the Week. That is the actual name of the Train Wreck of the what we do, the Train Wreck of the Week each week. It's the Adrian Broner Train Wreck of the Week. We had a couple of times where we had to put him in his own category. So Adrian Broner Train Wreck of the Week, and then we had a regular Train Wreck of the Week, you know, because he would do something like completely stupid, but then so would somebody else, but still not as dumb as Broner. So, anywho, Danielle Pagoli is publicly shaming boxing star Adrian Broner for trying to slide into her DMs. She's 16 years old. 16, he's 30. Pagoli posted a screenshot showing an Instagram notification from Broner, which reads this: Broner texted her, "Text me, crazy girl." That's his pickup line. That's his pickup line, son. That's his pickup line. Text me, crazy girl. Beeb, do you have pickup lines like that? Not at all.
I don't need pickup lines.
Well, you're the Beeb.
I'm the Beeb. I mean,
regular guys like me, we need pickup lines.
I am a pickup line.
It is. How it is. I mean, let's face it. If it was in a bottle, everybody would be drinking it. But not everybody's the Beeb. You know what I mean? He doesn't need a pickup line. Regular guys like me, we all need pickup lines. You know, your eyes sparkle like the Nile. How would you like to go home? You know, stuff like that.
How many slaps in the face did you get?
Couple, not too many, not too many, because I'm quick. You know, I mean, you can't hit me with a handful of rice, son. So, earlier in the day, apparently the Pagoli, the chick, created a, you know, posted a video in which she's modeling a crop top, whatever. What is a crop top, Beeb?
You know what? I think it would be some type of like a, one of those.
Like a wife beater for chicks or what?
Yeah, like those tops that have like the kind of like half shirts and they're like the thin stripes. I think it's not stripes, the strips.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
That's what I'm envisioning, like a wife beater for
I'm
chicks.
Yeah, I'm guessing something skimpy. You know, like a white
dude. Yeah, you know, and I mean, she's 16. I don't know, babe. Sometimes, you know, it's like, you can always, like, see, to me, like, you can, I guess because we're older, I don't know, we can always identify, like, younger girls, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even if you can't identify a younger girl, once she opens her mouth, you can pretty much identify a younger girl,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, once you hear her talk, it's you know what you're dealing with at that point, right?
Yeah.
I imagine she said something in this video or whatever. So anyway, the Broner messaged her in response to that clip, it looks like. This comes on the heel of Broner paying around $700,000 for sexual assault.
$800,000.
I don't understand. I don't understand. You were just spent $800,000.
Doesn't he have a fiance that he had like six kids with too?
I don't know if he had six kids with her. He had a few kids with her. I don't know if they're all from her. I don't know. But yeah, Red Glove Militant said a crop top. He says it reveals the midriff. He said he thinks it reveals the midriff. I don't know. Like I said, that's, you know. JC says Bono looks pregnant. You know. But again, I mean, you know what you're dealing with. The best part of this whole thing, this is Broner's response to it. Broner came out and said it was an honest mistake. Right? Okay. He thought she was of age. So he owned it. Kind of. Kind of. He then blamed Instagram for not having her age posted. And then said, I thought she was grown with the way she was out here moving. What is wrong with you? Once you find out she's 60, once you find out she's a kid, okay? Once you find out she's a kid, well, I thought she was grown the way she was out here moving. That doesn't help your case, son.
That's like
what is wrong with you?
That's like back in the day when people would, you know, sexually assault a woman, and they would blame it on the way she was dressed. Like, so what?
Yes, yes.
Anytime you see a
what were you wearing,
girl,
you know,
wearing clothing that turns you on, you're gonna assault her? I mean, come on, man.
It's insane. I mean, why? I don't understand, like, why on earth you would say that. Like, you know you're in trouble. And again, all you had to do was come out and say, listen, it was an honest mistake. I had no idea. Not, well, she was out here moving like that and everything like that, so I thought she was grown. You thought she was grown?
But again, don't you have a fiancé?
Yeah, but she's going to get over all that. Don't worry about that. I mean, she likes the indoor swimming pool. She's all right. Man. Don't worry about that. She likes the bags and everything like that, you know. She likes the Gucci bags and all that other stuff. And that was her handle on Instagram was like Miss Louis Bags or something like that, I guess for Louis Vuitton bags or something. It was something along those lines.
Yeah.
So, you know, you buy her a couple of those. I'm sure she'll be fine. But I just like, yeah, and by the way, you know, you do or you did have a fiance. I don't know. He gets caught constantly. Womanizing isn't your thing, dude. It's just not. You know, if this is your hobby and you end up paying $800, well, not you. I mean, come on. I mean, nobody's going to get caught with a beeb, you know. $800,000 he just paid. He's a clown. And then, like, literally, like, a week or two later, like, 2 weeks later, he's trying to pick up an underage chick. I mean, wouldn't you at least check before you do something stupid? I mean, if you just got, you know, I just try, you know, it was all a big misunderstanding. I just kind of forced myself on that girl at the mall, you know, started kissing her at the club or wherever it happened. I don't get it. I really don't get it. Would a couple of Gucci bags, she'll love me in the morning. Oh, my God. It's insane. I mean, yeah, you're like literally speechless with this. I mean, you really are. Because, like, you know, we talked about Clarissa Shields, and we're going to talk about her here in a few minutes. But about, like, the team having a meeting and stuff like that, I think that his guys need to pull him in. He's got a lot of yes men by him. I mean, he really does. And, like, you know, I don't know, man. If you're Bronner, I mean, you guys, you know, there's a lot of just yes men around him and everything like that. They let him get away with a lot of stuff that they shouldn't let him get away with. And maybe, listen, man, here's the deal, too. Maybe he's just one of those guys. You know, maybe he's just one of those guys where he's just not going to listen to you. He's just say, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do, and that's that. You know? And, hey, if it is, it is. What are you going to do? I don't know. But $800,000. $800,000, man. It's insane. It's a lot of dough. That's a lot of dough. And it's a lot of dough to not learn a lesson for. You know what I mean? This would be like the equivalent of like Errol Spence going out there and drinking and driving again and flipping his car again. It's just, it doesn't, I don't know, man. I don't get it. I just don't. Kung Fu Jitsu, I think he hits the nail on the head. Bronner's still a teenager in his mind. He's right. He's 30 years old. And he's still out there going to clubs and everything like that and trying to pick up chicks, forcing himself on girls and everything. I mean, I don't get it. Manny Gatillo says AB is the R. Kelly of boxing. Yeah, probably. It's only a matter of time before he gets locked up. And he gets locked up on a serious charge, man. I mean, that's the thing. That's, I mean, and we have a lot of fun and entertainment at Bronner's expense, which I enjoy. That being said, you know, this is, I mean, he's to a point now because he doesn't really have boxing anymore. I mean, he's not coming back. I mean, who's he going to fight if he comes back? And if he does come back, what's he got, one or two fights left? So that's the thing, man. He's only got a few fights left on him. This is for, like, you going forward? Because your career is pretty much at the end right now. You going forward, this is not a good thing.
No.
You got to, like, you know, you got to chill out, man. Dwayne M. says, Bronner's behavior proves he's not smart enough to stay out of trouble. Yeah, given the fact that he's train wreck every other week, yeah. 100%. 100% he's not. I mean, he's not smart enough to stay out of trouble. But it's you know, and we're going to blame him because ultimately the responsibility lies with him. But what about the people around him again? How many people are around him enabling this stuff? Because Bronner's getting me in the club for free, you know, or whatever the case, you know? How many people are, you know, enabling all this behavior? That's what you got to think about too. So, I don't know, man.
And here's the problem. All this stuff goes on because what? He has no fight to train for. He has no fight on the horizon. So if he's not in the boxing gym, like a lot of these fighters, when they're not in the gym, they're out doing stuff that gets them in trouble, right? They got to keep themselves busy so they don't get in trouble. And without boxing, there's not much in their life, unfortunately, for a lot of these guys.
You know, and he may have money now. He ain't going to have money for long. You know?
How much money does he have?
You got to wonder, yeah. I mean, whatever he's got has got to be running short.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you got to wake up here, man. I don't know, man. He's headed for a lot of trouble, though. And that's what's sad. I mean, we do have a lot of fun with him and everything like that, but you can see it. It's the writing's on the wall, man.
You don't wish that on anyone.
No. So, see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. All right, so this next one. This is interesting here, too. So, Clarissa Shields, we talked about her earlier in the program. Clarissa Shields is going to start training with John Jones. If you don't know who John Jones is, UFC John Jones is probably the best fighter on the planet, period. I don't know of too many people that could beat that guy. That guy's he's got to be the best fighter on the planet, right?
I would say so. Yeah.
I would say so. I don't know anybody that beats him. Tell you that.
With 100% certainty, I think he's the best.
I think he beats anybody. I mean, if you put him in the octagon against any living person, I think they don't come out. So that's Jones, man. Clarissa Shields said that I'm starting my training this year in 2020. I've been able to, this is from bjpenn.com. She said, I've been able to catch on to things very fast. I've had some great people who have reached out to me. I'm going to camp with John Jones, I believe at the end of February, just to see if I can get this whole, get the whole training thing and do what he does because he's so great. I'm looking forward to it. Really? I mean, she's really serious about fighting Amanda Nunes. Nunes has already said if she wants to fight, she'll have to come to the UFC in an MMA bout. This is a terrible, terrible idea if that's the case. Just an absolute train wreck of an idea. Amanda Nunes will take her down and strangle her. And let me tell you what, no amount of training that Clarissa Shields does, I don't care how fast she picks it up, no amount of training she does will be able to stop it. 100%, no way.
Really breaks me, and it perplexes me too. I'm in bewilderment when I hear this from these boxers. So they spend all their life learning how to be boxers, and they talk about time it took to perfect craft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how hard it was, and how long it had to get today. Turn around and think that they can just try out MMA and learn it in 6 months, and go in there with other MMA fighters who, just like them, as boxers, have been doing what they've been doing for multiple years. And MMA encompasses more than just hands. It encompasses kicks, knees, elbows, grappling, jiu-jitsu. So it's a more expansive skill set.
Yeah.
Okay? And it took these people, these UFC fighters, these Bellator fighters, these MMA fighters, it took them years upon years upon years to perfect what they do. Just like I said, boxers the same way. But boxers just think that they, just because they learn how to perfect their craft in boxing, that they can just learn MMA in 6 months, when it took all these other people who are perfectionists and masters in mixed martial arts, took them so many years to do it. But the arrogance of these boxers thinking that they could just learn what these guys learned in 6 years or 12 years or whatever, and they're going to do it in 6 months, right? The arrogance of that, I just could never understand that. Like,
no.
They minimize the difficulty of being an MMA fighter. They think boxing is so much harder to do than fighting in the MMA.
And it's not.
And it's not.
No. They're two different sports.
They're two different sports. They're both hard. That would be like someone playing basketball deciding, hey, I'm just going to be a football player tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go to a football training camp in the summer, and then I'm gonna try out the NFL. And they never played at that level before in their lives.
Yeah.
So the arrogance of Clarissa Shields thinking that she's gonna go train with John Jones and learn how to be an MMA fighter, and in 6 months be ready to fight Amanda Nunes, who's been doing this since she's been in diapers, right?
Yeah.
The arrogance of her thinking that she could be on that person's level in 6 months, it just befuddles me. I don't understand it.
I don't get it either. I don't get it either.
And all these boxers think, like Floyd, James Toney thought that he could beat Randy Couture. You know, like, he looked, and then when he went in there, he looked lost.
He got smashed. I mean, that wasn't even close. It took Couture 10 seconds. 10 to 30 seconds to take James Toney down. He did it with a single leg takedown, which you never see in MMA. I mean, it's almost unheard of in MMA.
Why do you think he did that?
Right.
Because James Toney.
Because James Toney would have killed him on the
floor. No, but he came out in a boxing stance.
Right.
In boxing, you put your lead foot in front. In MMA, you stand in a horse stance.
Right.
Or kind of like a little bit of a modified horse stance where you have have your lead foot slightly in the front.
You always wait for the shot. It's almost like a wrestling stance because you're always waiting for the shot.
You don't stand in a silhouette type posture when you're fighting in MMA. You don't put your front leg out there. So if he gave him his front leg, so that's why he went for the single leg, because it was right out there for him to do it.
Yeah, it's just a quick ankle pick. You know, that's all it was.
The minute I knew when James Toney came out there in his boxing shoulder, you know, it's Philly Shell stance.
Yeah.
I said to myself, "What the hell is this guy doing?"
Yeah,
he didn't train to be an MMA fighter.
No,
he thought his boxing skills were going to beat this other guy's MMA skills.
Which is crazy. Couture is an Olympic caliber wrestler. I don't know if he was. I think he was an alternate. I don't know if he was on the Olympic team, but he is a world class wrestler.
Phenomenal wrestler.
And once you get a boxer on the ground, they can't do anything. You don't have any leverage. You have nothing.
No.
There's nothing you can do.
You know who actually wrestled was Lomachenko. He was a good wrestler.
That's what I heard. I'm watching him. You see that video where he was doing the kicks?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. But again, still, I mean, he's a good stand-up guy. I don't know, like, and he even though he wrestled, you're looking at guys like, I mean, you know, you take like Ben Askren. All right, who was, again, a world-class wrestler and everything like that. He got into the UFC, and there's guys that he couldn't take down. You know, and you're talking about a world-class wrestler. And there's guys that he could not take down. You know, some of these guys, you don't think that she's going to be able to take Clarissa Shields down with no problem? I mean, literally no problem at all.
And what, six
months to a year of training? Look at CM Punk. Look at CM Punk as a perfect example. The wrestler, he was the WWE guy who went to the UFC. Perfect example. And he was like a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. He was like a purple belt or a brown belt in jiu-jitsu.
Was he?
Yeah. in Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. I think he was a purple belt going in. And so he was no joke on the ground. I mean, he could fight, and he got dismantled.
He couldn't strike. That was his problem.
I mean, he got dismantled in those fights.
He had horrible striking skills. That's what did him in.
You know, and he was up there training with Duke Rufus and everybody up in Tyrone Woodley's gym up there, the gym they all train at up there, with Ben Askren and Tyrone Woodley and everybody up there. So, I mean, he was training on striking for a year. But the thing is, again, it's two different sports. What makes you think, like you said, I mean, what makes you think that you could just go in there and beat this girl who just dismantled Cyborg and Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey, and she's the best fighter in the world. She's the best female fighter in the world. You know, her and John Jones, there's nobody else.
And then the whole thing that set Clarissa Shields off is because people were saying that she's the best female fighter in the world. And Clarissa Shields is like, no, I am. No, you're not.
Son, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
Amanda Nunes is a destructive force.
Kill Clarissa Shields.
There is nobody that can touch that girl.
No.
And here's the thing. What weight doesn't Amanda Nunes fight at what, 145 or 135?
Something like that. I think she likes to fight at 145.
Is it 145? I thought it was 145.
She has belts in both. She has belts in both, so it doesn't matter to her.
So Clarissa Shields,
you're going to have to drop that weight.
She fights at 154.
Yeah.
So what would Nunes have to do? So what would the fight have to be at, 155?
I would say 145.
Clarissa Shields can't make 145. There's no way. I bet you, if the fight happened, that they would allow it to happen at 155. I bet you.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just like Conor McGregor, he generally fights at what, 170, but he fought Floyd at 155.
No, McGregor usually fought at like 150. No, 170 was not his weight.
Well,
he fought a couple of fights at 170,
but
170.
Right now, isn't he on 170?
Yeah, right now he is. He's going to fight Cowboy.
How much did he weigh when he fought Khabib?
155.
I thought that was 170, wasn't it?
No.
Oh, well, it was 155.
Yeah, it was 155,
You're correct. Yeah.
So, yeah, man. I'll tell you what, though, man. Like I said, it's a bad move. And, I mean, for Clarissa, for PR and everything like that, she's going to go in there. I mean, if she does decide to do this, and listen, man, we're still a long way away from that. She's got to get in the gym, and she'll learn a few things, but you're not going to be able to defend those takedowns. If she wants to take you down, she will take you down. And I don't care how much training you have, because Amanda Nunes has done this for years.
You can't learn. You can't be at – you can't take yourself and train for a year and be at the same level as someone else who's trained for 12 years, 15 years, 20 years. It's ridiculous. I just don't understand the arrogance of it all. I just don't.
Yeah. Igloo 2 says CM Punk is a blue belt, first rank above white. Oh, let's just take you at face value, because I thought he was a purple belt. I'm like 90% sure he's a purple belt, but let's just say he's a blue belt. You know how hard it is to get a blue belt? This isn't like, you know, you just, you know, taking the kid class at the, it's over a year to get your blue belt at a good school. It's over a year. You have to train to get your blue belt, and you have to know a lot of stuff to get your blue belt. They don't just hand them out. All right. And a blue belt, if you hold a blue, you're dangerous. That's a dangerous guy, man. You know, I mean, that's the thing, man. A lot of you guys, if go take jiu-jitsu, you'll know what I'm talking about. Go into a gym to wrestle with a blue belt. You know, don't even wrestle with a white. Wrestle with a blue belt. See how far you get. I don't care if you wrestled in college. I don't care if you wrestled anywhere else. Go roll around with a blue belt. Let me know how it goes. They know way too much. It isn't. And then you get to the purple belts. And then the brown belts, and then the black belts. And that's a 10-year journey, at least a 10-year journey to black belt. You know what I mean? Kung Fu Jitsu said it best. He said it takes 2 to 3 years just to learn the basics in takedown defense and groundwork. Clarissa Shields thinks she could pick it up in a couple of months with John Jones. And not to mention, I mean, John Jones is not the best guy to be training you, because John Jones, it would be like being trained by Sugar Ray Leonard, you know? That's the thing. And I mean, and while, hey, that sounds great, being trained by Sugar Ray, who wouldn't want to be trained by Sugar Ray. Listen, it's like being trained by Michael Jordan or anybody, because he can do stuff that you can't do, that you'll never be able to do, that he can't teach you. There's stuff and instincts and everything like that that he just can't teach you. He's just got them. You know what I mean? Now, John Jones' trainer, Greg Jackson, or Mike Winklejohn, those guys are very good. They can train you. But rolling around with John Jones and stuff like that, man, that's not going to teach you much.
But you want to hear something crazy? The incentive for her to do it is the UFC and Dana White.
Yeah.
Would probably pay her triple than what she's ever made in her life.
They will pay her mass money.
She'll probably
to take a beating.
They would probably pay her maybe $2 or $3 million to come out.
Yeah.
What is she made in boxing?
Not that. Because you know,
probably a couple hundred thousand bucks.
And you know what's funny? You know what's funny is that that's the crazy part. They don't take, you know, boxing, you know, they don't take a page out of anybody's book. You know, they just keep doing exactly what they're doing, and they're like, we're fine. MMA has promoted women's to the point where we're talking about Amanda Nunes as being one of the best fighters on the planet. You know what I mean? That's what we're talking about. You know, they promoted their people great.
And
they do promotion. Boxing doesn't do that.
No, and the ironic thing about it is, too, Dana White said for years, I'm never going to have females in the UFC.
Until Ronda Rousey came along.
And then he did it.
And, you know, you put her in there, and then all of a sudden, man, that cash cow starts rolling because she has a personality and everything like that. I mean, you know, and nobody has a personality like Rousey. I mean, you take Holly Holm. Holly Holm couldn't do anything in boxing as far as, listen, she was a great boxer and she had a lot of titles, but as far as charisma went, that nobody promoted her. Nobody wanted to talk to her.
No one cared about it.
But you put her in the UFC, all of a sudden, wow, hey, we got something here. You know?
After she beat Ronda Rousey,
mm-hmm.
I reached out to her manager, tried to get an interview with her.
Yeah.
And they were like, we'll see what we can do, we'll see what we can do. I never got close to her. I couldn't actually get her.
Yeah, it's nuts,
her
isn't it?
Her phone was ringing up. When she was boxing, you could get her like in a second.
You can get her right now. Hey, get her on the show. You know what I mean?
Shame how
nuts.
How female boxing is just not pushed at all in boxing.
Yeah.
Females are not pushed at all. But in UFC, wow. So there's more of an incentive for her to go over in terms of money.
Yeah.
But she's going to get hurt.
Well, and Gucci Boy brings up a good point. He says Nunez destroyed the best woman striker, Jermaine Durandamy, from Holland. What is Shields going to do? You know, Jermaine Durandamy was, you know, she's from Holland. She's this excellent kickboxer striker.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's all she does. And she was clearly better than Nunez on the feet, but Nunez just took her down. People forget that Nunes has a ground game and that she's a very high level in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
She's very well-rounded, all, you know.
You have to be. If you're going to be at that level, you have to be well-rounded.
Even John Jones, for years, people thought he was just a striker, but
he can wrestle. He was a JUCO wrestler, I think. He was a JUCO wrestler, and, I mean, he probably could have made the Olympics. He's that good.
He has great takedown defense.
Amazing.
He's a dangerous dude, too.
Yeah, he is. He is, man.
Someone just asked me in the chat, who has a better resume, John Jones or Amanda Nunes?
Jones.
Argue, yeah. I would.
But argue, I don't know. Okay, well, look. I mean,
I would argue maybe Nunes.
Well, you got Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm, Jermaine Durandamy, Chris Cyborg.
Chris Cyborg for years was thought to be the best MMA fighter
ever. Like, yeah, I mean, she was ragdolling people.
You know,
she would come in there and ragdoll people.
And here's the thing, too, about Chris Cyborg. They tried to get a rematch with Nunes, okay?
Yeah.
And she ended up going to Bellator. And again,
she didn't want it.
And Dana White said that she didn't want it.
Yeah.
She got mad and said, oh, you know, it's not that I don't want it. She made it out to be that she couldn't deal with Dana White in the UFC. But
yeah.
What Dana said ended up, you know, his comments are more plausible because he said she doesn't. She'd rather go somewhere else and fight easier opposition. And what does she do?
Yeah.
She went somewhere else, and she's gonna. Who in Bellator is gonna be able to touch her? There's no one even close to even close to Amanda Nunes and Bellator.
No, anywhere else for that matter.
So she basically did do what Dana White said she would do, and that's no knock on her. I mean, whatever floats your boat. I mean, a paycheck is a paycheck. But he told the truth, and you called him a liar.
She didn't want to fight her. If she wanted a rematch, they could have made that rematch happen.
Dana White would have made that rematch in a second, but the circumstantial evidence and the empirical data suggests that Dana White was right.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
She did exactly what he said that she would do.
Right.
Whatever her motives were, I mean, if you thought you could beat her, you'd fight her again.
Absolutely. No question about that.
And I don't think Bellator can pay you what UFC is paying you.
No.
Fight Union. You're not going to get a payday that's going to match that or be comparable to that.
Mm-hmm.
No way. Let's be real about it.
Nacho says that Kayla Harrison would beat down Shields. Kayla Harrison, if you don't know, was a bronze medal, or so, she might even be a gold medal. I don't know. Olympic judo player, and now she's in the she's in MMA now. Just a quick question, quick trivia question, Nacho and B. Do you know where Kayla Harrison is from?
Ohio.
Titletown, baby. That's right. Of course she's beating her. Is there a question about that? Come on, son. Dwayne M. says, how much is Shields expected to make? Do we know or did I miss it? Just speculation. We're speculation about $3 million or so. We don't know, though.
I'm guessing bottom line, $2 million.
Yeah. We don't know, but... Yeah, if you're Dana White, you're like salivating at that prospect to get her in there, you know. So there you go. All right, let's see what else here. What else we got? We don't have much left. Cal Yafai and Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez is being eyed for February 29th.
Wow.
This is a good fight for Cal Yafai. This is a good step-out fight for him in the sense that, you know, you want to be recognized, go and beat the old king. And the old king is definitely right for the taking, Beeb.
He's definitely on the downslide.
Clearly on the downslide. You know, I'll tell you this. Chocolatito has never been the same since he moved up in weight. He was just not the same fighter. And those 3 pounds made a difference.
Without question.
It just is what it is. You know? I mean, that's the way it is, man.
Yeah.
So it's a good fight for him. It's not a great fight for Chocolatito. It's not a fight, I don't know, man. I'll tell you what, it's not a fight that I would recommend if I was in Chocolatito's camp. I don't know how much he's going to make for this fight, but it ain't good, man. But how do you see? I think Cal Yafai beats him. I think he beats him pretty sound. I don't know that he knocks him out, but I think
he'll probably decision him.
Yeah, because Cal Yafai is not like a major. He's not anyway.
No.
You know?
Not at all.
So, yeah, JC said Rung Vasai took his soul. So Rung Vasai, you ain't lying. I'll tell you why.
That ain't all he took.
Man, that was rough, boy. That was rough. That first fight, man, I tell you what, I had Rung Vasai winning their first fight, and he left no doubts on the second fight, man.
Yeah, I agree.
He was in Sonny D said he used to be the bomb. Yeah, he did. He was one of the best fighters in the world. They were trying to tout him as pound-for-pound the best ever. Or not the best ever, but the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. I think it was a little manufactured, but it wasn't like he was a bad fighter.
No.
He was a very good fighter.
Yeah.
One of the best.
I don't think he was the best in the world, but
no.
He's still a great fighter.
I agree. And last but not least, Carlos De Leon passes away. Carlos De Leon, who won the WBC cruiserweight title four times.
How old was he, Eric?
60. He died on New Year's Day in Buffalo, New York.
That's so sad.
Obviously, cause is unknown. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't really matter what happened. It's the fact that we're going to miss him, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's crazy.
What a shame.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a good fighter, man. Real good fighter. I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame, though.
No.
I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame, but, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, but hey, listen, man, four titles. Jeez. WBC cruiserweight champ, man. What are you going to do? Well, I tell you what, Beeb, is there anything else you want to talk about, man? Because that's all we got. This is a short week, baby. Short week, Daddy. What are you going to do?
That's tough,
man.
It's
Times are hard out there, Habib. What am I going to do? Times are difficult. What are you going to do? You know, we're scrounging around trying to get stories for you guys. You know, there's no boxing on.
There was no fights at all. This is like the first.
You think me and Beeb like sitting around watching football all day?
Rafael Dawkins is in the chat. Let me ask him. Any fights or anything you want to talk about, Rafael? What do you think? Rest in peace. Patriots lost, man.
What is up with that? Man, I didn't expect that, boy. Threw a pick six to end it, man. Pick six. And that wasn't Brady's fault, though, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, how did he drop that?
I thought it was tipped or whatever, wasn't it? Or I don't know, man.
There was another series of sounds where the guy was, like, wide open. I think it was a wide out, and he just dropped it. It was wide open.
It's crazy.
Someone wants to talk about Fighter of the Decade. I think Manny Pacquiao is going to get Fighter of the Decade.
According to WBN.
Yeah.
That's so silly.
They're the worst, aren't they?
They're not, yeah.
But I think he'll get it. I think he'll get it.
I don't really care. What does that even mean, Fighter of the Decade?
I don't know. What do you get from that?
What do you get from, right? What do you get?
Hey, I'm Fighter of the Decade.
It's a free Happy Meal at McDonald's or whatever. Yeah. That's it. Okay. You know.
I'm Fighter of the Decade. Move right to the front of the line. At Pizza Hut.
That won't even get you anywhere at the club, you know? Yeah. What happened if you were at the club and you used that line? Hey, I'm Fighter of the Decade, baby. What about that?
Yeah.
What's that going to do for you? Nothing. You get a drink poured in your face. You're feeling like me pretty soon. What are you going to do? Nacho says, what about the rumored Gilberto Ramirez versus Usman Salmov for the vacant WBO light heavyweight title?
Wow, this guy's like...
Who cares? Nacho, I love you, man, but who cares?
Yeah, but Ramirez...
Usman Salmov, who is that?
But he's like...
Fun.
He's like got special privileges over the WBO, man.
We're Bob's organization. Isn't that what it stands for? WBO.
Yeah, no matter where he goes, like the WBO will get him a title shot. He could fight at heavyweight. He'll get a WBO title shot.
Terrence Crawford's sister tweeted to Errol Spence, make the fight, and Errol basically said he blames the promoters. Yeah, right.
Oh, here's another big story. Wilder and Fury. They're not having a promotional today because Wilder doesn't want to do it.
I heard about this, and this is a bad move. I tell you what, this is a bad move by Wilder.
I'm not in agreement with that from Wilder.
No. He's usually, you can't shut him up, you know? I mean, he's always talking. I mean, he's always wanting to promote himself and everything. So you got the biggest fight of your life coming up and you don't want to promote it? It's going to be on pay-per-view, by the way, guys. I don't know if he knew that or not. It's going to be on pay-per-view. You may want to, you know, get your face out there. I don't know.
I think what's going to happen, though, is Gary's going to go out on the road himself, try to promote this fight himself. He's not a dummy. He was on ESPN Game Day.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot of stuff.
I think they'll both be on the Super Bowl, though. I think the Super Bowl's on Fox, if I'm not mistaken. They'll both be on the Super Bowl and everything like that. And
That's good.
Yeah, so, it'll be one of those things, man. Yeah, he's –
Do you think this pay-per-view can do a million? Well, I think it can do 2.5. I don't think it's going to do that.
No. Not if they don't press it. Not if they don't hype it up.
I wonder how Aaron's feeling right now. Like, wow, they're not wanting to do a press thing.
I'd be mad. He's got to be mad. You know, we're putting all this money out, and now you don't want to do a press tour. What are you talking about?
He can't be happy about that.
No.
There's no way.
Chandler M says he heard Wilder has the flu. Where'd you hear that at?
What's
the flu? Take a week? Puts you out for a week? Come on, who cares?
$650K for the pay-per-view. Maybe.
Maybe. That's being optimistic. I think 800. I don't even know that it caps off at a million. What are they going to price it out as? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What are you going to price it out as?
It'd be expensive.
Right?
It'd be at least $80.
Probably.
Wow, they got the chicken pox. Did he really?
He had the flu, and now he's got the chicken pox.
Fuck, what doesn't he have?
Got gonorrhea. What are you talking about?
He's got a fucking scarlet fever.
He's got rheumatic fever.
Let me know it'll be in the ICU on a life support.
Give him some NyQuil, man. Give him some NyQuil. He'll be fine.
Jesus Christ.
He's got chicken pox.
He's got fucking flu and he's got chicken pox. Fuck.
Got the measles. Got the measles on top of that.
Yeah, staph infection.
He said it burns when he urinates. I don't know what that's about, but I don't know.
Ryan Garcia wants Tank Davis. Yeah, we'll see if he wants Tank Davis.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we'll see about that. Yeah, they all want each other until it's time to, you know, time to get it going.
About a contract.
Manny Gutierrez says, "Wow, there's the measles." That's funny, man. Dawkins says he's got the mumps. Chandler M says that Fury's cut will open back up. You know what? I got to be honest, man. That's definitely a concern.
Yeah.
If you're in Fury's camp, what about that? What about that cut, man?
It's a horrible cut.
It's a bad cut, bro. It ain't good. Cozy Riddle said AJ is allegedly vacating a belt. Yeah, he is. He will. Otherwise, he'd have to fight Alexander Usyk. Eddie is going to, I would imagine, advise him to split the belt, basically. And so they'll have two champions in-house, and they'll look to do that fight later on in the year.
So they'll probably fight each other later in the year. The Wilder, Joshua. Oh, what about Wilder? Like, this Wilder, Joshua talk, Joshua saying that he would knock out Wilder in six rounds. He's talking about Wilder an awful lot now.
Yeah, because he wants to fight Wilder. I think
he really wants to fight.
Yeah, I think he does too, but we'll see where it goes, man. We'll see where it goes. I don't know if that fight takes place or not. I don't know.
Not his name, Wilder got bronchitis.
He's got bronchitis.
He's a walking friggin' ICU ward at this point, right?
Nacho said Usyk and Chisora in March. I heard that too. I heard they were debating on a date or whatever. Nacho said it's in March. I heard it was like late February.
Is that for the vacant WBO title?
Probably. Really? Yeah.
Whoa.
That's a good fight. That's a really good fight for him.
Wow.
For both of them, actually. We'll see if he's a legit heavyweight. Can he take a legit heavyweight shot? I don't know. Good fighter. We'll see.
Well, I mean, now they're even saying that they would go 50-50 with Wilder just to make the fight. So, at this point, we have to say the ball's in Wilder's court now. We can't.
Well, he's got a fight coming up. Ball's on anybody's court now. I mean, he's got a fight coming up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but here's the thing. From what when I asked Bob about the rematch clauses, and he said basically it's up to the winner if he wants to defend the rematch clause. The loser can't enforce it.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, so there's no really signed rematch clause. So there's nothing that says they have to. So if Fury does win, he can turn around and fight Joshua. Next. He doesn't have to fight Wilder in the rematch. Which is
what will happen. You know darn well that's what's going to happen.
Which is what I would do.
That's the biggest fight in Britain. It'll be a big fight here. I mean, that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Cut West really getting on AJ here, man. He says AJ's scared to get knocked out again. He's going to fight scared for the rest of his career.
Come on, son. That's not right. That's not right, Raphael. That's not what Bob Arum told me. The loser can't activate a rematch clause if he loses.
No.
Only the winner can.
Right. The loser can activate the rematch. I don't know any contract that's written like that.
Yeah, it's up to the winner.
Yeah.
If the winner wants to do it.
Yeah.
Bob told me that the way it's structured is you can go back and listen to the interview.
Yeah.
He said it's up to the winner. Yeah, Frank's wrong. That's not Bob said. Bob said the exact opposite. Go back and listen to my interview.
Cut West, like I said, he said AJ's scared to get knocked out again. He's going to be scared for the. I disagree with that at all. I mean, he's not. Listen, what do you want him to do? He came back and beat the snot out of Andy Ruiz, won every round. What else can the guy do? He fought scared. What do you mean he fought scared? It's not his fault the other guy couldn't get in shape.
Why would the winner activate the rematch clause? Because That's the way the contract. They're both champions. It's not like
right.
some guys.
Listen, it doesn't matter. We've already talked to Bob Arum. This is what he said. His words, not ours.
They're both champions. It's not like AJ's situation where only he was the champion and then he had a rematch clause because he's a champion. There's really no A side in this fight, Rafael. If they're both champions, well, they're not really both champions, but again, Fury's like the lineal champion, so that's just what Bob Arum said. It's not contracted. They don't have to. There is not a rematch clause in there.
Yeah.
You have to ask Bob Arum these things. I mean, it's all in my interview.
Yeah.
I actually talked to Bob Arum. It's not secondhand.
Right. Talk to the man himself.
But Warren is not the Warren does not have more say than Bob Arum. Bob Arum put the deal together with ESPN, not Warren. So Warren's not the man to talk to. Warren says a lot of things. So BT may not even get this rematch in the UK. Maybe on Sky. So
yeah. Cut West says Daniel Dubois is the truth. He said I'll pick him over AJ any day. Listen, man, Daniel Dubois is they're looking for him against Joe Joyce early this year, like real early this year. I like Daniel Dubois a lot. I agree with Cut West here. I like Daniel Dubois a lot. He's the guy. And I think, like I said, we talked about him after his last win. If they can move him along, not rush him, not put him in a title match tomorrow, they can move him along sensibly, bring him along, I think he's going to be really, really good. And he's going to be really solid.
Yeah.
So... yeah,
that's another thing I think it's a big story too. Daniel Dubois versus Joe Joyce.
Yeah, well, we're waiting for it to come official, man, because it sounds like it's going to be close. Sounds like it's going to be close for sure. Real quick, before we head out of here, Beeb, what as far as fights this year? Not the fights that are already made, because like Lomachenko Teofimo, we know that fight's going to happen. Fights that are actually makeable. Give me one or two fights that are actually makeable that you want to see this year.
Oh, I want to see that I think is makeable.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Canelo versus Callum Smith.
I think that's a really good fight.
That's a good fight.
Who would you like to see John Ryder face? You don't care?
No.
Ah, how dare you? How dare you?
I'm not really concerned about John Ryder.
John Ryder. Wasn't he the guy that beat Callum Smith?
I thought he.
Yeah, we all thought he did. You don't want to see him fight again? How dare you? I think Golovkin-Murata would be a good fight if they can get that going. I think that's a good fight. Both guys on the tail end of their careers. I think that's a good fight. We're going to get the Teofimo fight. I want to see Tank Davis. I want to see Tank Davis go back down to 130 and fight Leo Santa Cruz. It makes no sense to me for him to fight him at 135, if that's what he does.
I thought Ryder did win that fight, though. I thought it was
good.
I thought it went
clean. Yeah? I think I had Callum Smith winning that fight.
You did.
I think I had him pretty easily. What about Kid Galahad? Who does he fight? Who do you want to see him fight?
I'd love to see him get a rematch at Warrington.
I would, too. That's the only fair thing to do. It's the only fair thing to do.
That fight was just...
Highway robbery.
I just did not agree with that scoring in that fight.
Yeah. Dwayne M. says Charlo and Andrade. Demetrius Andrade and Charlo.
Yeah, wouldn't mind.
It's a good fight. I don't hate that. I don't hate it. That's for sure.
You know what's crazy? I really haven't thought about Golovkin that much. I'm not really concerned about Golovkin right now.
He's on the slide.
I haven't really been excited to see Golovkin fight again. After that last performance, and even after the Canelo fight.
Give him a rematch with Derevchenko. I'd watch that.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Rafael Dawkins says Spence versus Crawford. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. That's totally unrealistic.
Somebody says Spence versus Pacquiao. I don't know. I'd like to see. I'd like to see it happen, but I don't think it does.
When did Pacquiao fight Thurman? What was that? What month was that? That was in January.
Man, I don't
right?
know. I don't remember.
That was in January.
Or didn't he fight Bronner and then Thurman?
No, he fought Bronner, you're right, and then he fought Thurman.
Thurman later on, and like in the summer
January,
or something.
And then he fought, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder who he's going to fight again.
He's probably going to fight like a Danny Garcia or somebody beatable.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to, you know, I don't know, man.
That was in July, so July, August.
April.
Seven months.
I think about April, he'll come back maybe,
yeah.
March or April. Crawford versus Pac-Man, Rafael Dawkins says that, I don't know.
That ain't going to happen.
They're on two sides of the street again, man. They're on two sides of the street. But Pac-Man's right in the mix there of the PBC, you know, so he can have his pick of anybody, and I guarantee he's not going to pick anybody again, you know. How about Pac-Man versus Sean Porter? A solid fight, right?
That's a good fight.
That's a good fight, yeah.
Sean Porter versus Crawford, I wouldn't mind.
That's a heck of a fight, too. I like that one. I like that one a lot. Nacho says Dubois versus Joyce. I believe we're going to get that fight. Tanky, Sonny D says Tank versus Ryan Garcia. I don't think that happens. That's a tough one to make. And you know, you have to think about it. Like, Ryan Garcia is on the up-and-coming. Tank is on the up-and-coming. Yeah, they're not going to, you know. Chandler Ram said, referring to the Charlos, who would be a good test for the Charlos? Who would you like to see them in there against? Anybody?
I'd like to see Jamal fight Andre, and I'd like to see Jamel fight probably Julian Williams.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to see.
I think that would be good. I'd like to see the and what about Jared Hurd, man? I mean, that's another guy who just kind of – I think that loss really, really affected him.
He wants his belt back.
No, man. Yeah, that may be, but you know, you got to get off the slide here and get moving on it, man. You got to fight somebody.
And I think he fired a lot of his training team, too.
He got hit quite a bit. I mean, they scouted him in that fight, and they knew exactly how to set that guy up.
Yeah.
And he didn't change. And they couldn't give him any plan B in that corner.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What are you going to do? All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. On Twitter, you can find me at ringside73, and we will see you next week. Well, we should have more boxing action next week.
I'll see you on the lake, everybody. You did a great job.
Oh, man, I tell you why.
Yeah, you did a phenomenal job keeping that going, brother.